If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.
WWER 88.1. My name is Eric, and this is another edition of Porch Talk. I'm on the porch with Blake Hines. Blake, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's nice to see you again, Eric. How are you?
Great. Thank you for being on Porch Talk.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, here we are. We're sitting on the porch. We have a little background music with the chime. Where did you get all these chimes?
Well, my wife and I, we have traditions just like everybody else, and I have a chime tradition for her Christmas present. And so I usually tend to buy her chimes. We have quite a few more. In fact, in Florida, when we first moved to Florida, we put all of our chimes up, and it was so noisy and irritating
yeah.
for the whole neighborhood because of the coastal winds. We had to take them all down.
Did people complain?
Yeah, well, and people looked, you know how they do? They don't complain, they look.
Getting the side eye?
Right, yeah, resting bitch face. But yes, and we could tell it was the wrong thing to do. So, but it's nice here, you get a gentle breeze, and it's a nice quiet sound, you know.
And
then I made these mobiles in Washington State when we lived on the water there. I would pick up sea glass all the time, and then make little sculptures with them and whatnot.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you mentioned Washington State, you mentioned Florida. Where are you from?
Well, oddly enough, I was born in Baltimore, Maryland.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, but, we left for Texas when I was 1 year old, and we lived in Texas till I was three, and then I primarily grew up in Florida, in Winter Park, Florida.
Winter Park, yeah, I love it.
And so I was back and forth. Of course, I went to military school and yada, yada. I was a horrible kid.
Military parents?
My father was in the Army in Vietnam, but, not for a long time, no. But my father was in the Navy, or my grandfather was in the Navy in World War II. I was in the Army. So there's a little bit of a military tradition, but it's more of a drinking and knocking your kid around tradition.
Well, my grandfather was in the Navy in World War Two, and then he did the Air Force for Korean War.
Mm.
My father was in the Army, and he broke both his hands, so they kicked him out. Medical discharge, I think.
My grandfather, he was a fighter pilot in the Navy, flew Corsairs.
Oh, wow.
And I think that, he was a real hard ass, But I think that's what you need during wartime, of course. But as soon as the war was over, they were like, I can't stand this guy. Get him out of the Navy, And so he actually flew for... and did sales and something else for Piper Aircraft for his entire life. And, mellowed out once he was my grandpa, he was just funny. Funny to watch him act like a crazy person. But, I'm sure my parents didn't like it that much.
Okay, Florida, Winter Park, how'd you end up in Washington State?
Well, I mean, it's somewhat of a long story, but really it boils down to I got out of the Army, and when I got out of the Army, I moved to Indiana because my father was there, and so I was kind of semi-homeless in Indiana, because I started to do Grateful Dead shows and everything.
Okay.
Well, then I met my wife, Barbara.
Oh, no, hold on. You were a groupie?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Deadhead, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you travel with the band?
Oh, I used to.
Oh, my gosh. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the same old story. I got out of the Army, and I didn't really have any direction. And I went to my first concert and saw all those people who were just as weird as I was. And I thought, boy, this is really for me, And then, of course, that's what got me into glassblowing and everything else. But my best friend at the time happened to know my wife and her best friend.
Okay.
And we started hanging out, and my wife and I met, and this is over 33 years ago.
Wow.
And then I just knew, she was my best friend. I could tell she was my best friend, and I knew, hey, that's what's up. So it's been me and her forever. We lived in Indianapolis for 20 some odd years.
Wow.
And then, moved out to Washington when they leave. Through the Grateful Dead, and because of that, I started getting into the art glass movement, resurgence of the art glass movement, making everything from pipes to, pendants to wine glasses to everything.
Sure.
And which was a lucky thing for me. And you know, and then my wife being the rock, she made it, you know, so that it was feasible.
Yes.
And we just always stuck together. Eventually, we sold our houses in Indiana, and we decided we wanted to come out west where the legalization was happening and
okay.
all of these new things. And,
sure.
And to get in on the ground floor. And so we went out there for a while and loved it. We just loved it. But
why'd you leave?
Well, it was one of those things. We had got an offer on our home that we would have been stupid to say no to.
Yeah, I understand that.
But then on top of that, my little brother died, and my mother needed us to be around her.
So where was she?
In Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we sold our home.
Okay.
And moved down to Florida to be closer to my mother. And then she got it together some and was, you know, after a while, she was able to cope.
Oh, that's good.
And got sick of us. And so, and once again, we
gave you the boot.
We got another offer. Well, on our home in Florida, we got another crazy offer. And
wow.
So we took that and then basically started to wander the coast because all of our family are up and down this coast.
Okay.
So we started to wander the coast looking for a new home.
So
and
what
we found Colonial Beach.
Okay. What was it about Colonial Beach of all the places you went up and down the East Coast that made you want to pick this place?
Well, the thing is, as soon as we came into the town, we saw a lot of diversity in the flags and the
yes.
just a lot of diversity.
Yes.
We saw people walking around with smiles on their faces.
Yes.
It felt like a vacation-y community, and it just felt right for us. We are both very community-oriented, and I love to talk to people.
Yes.
And this is a community where we can, where I could do that. And we just fell in love. I think it's one of those things. Everything just felt right. We liked the water. We liked the people. We liked how it's almost this town is almost Mayberry-like, you know, where we all know and respect each other, you know, no matter what our views, and we all talk to each other. And if somebody needs help, we help. And that's what I want our whole world to be like. So I like to immerse myself in places like, you know, this is where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in a positive place.
Wow. How long did you stay in Colonial Beach before you decided to buy this house, which, by the way, we're sitting on the porch here. You can hear the wind chimes. It's a beautiful day. There goes a osprey.
Yeah, they're osprey. Well, I think that might be a bald eagle.
That's
actually.
Oh, my God, it is a bald eagle.
But there are osprey all over the place. We used to have a tree here that had osprey in it forever, but the tree fell last year, and so they lost their nest. Now, there's two bald eagles that hang out in this tree right over across from us.
Right, right.
That big one. I'm not sure what our osprey, who were living here, are going to do. This will be the first year they don't have a home. I hope they'll build a nest in that tree there or maybe chase those eagles out. Yes, we love it. And that was part of it. We've always lived on the water
okay.
or close to the water.
Oh, Washington State on the water, Florida on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Washington State, we were dead on the Puget Sound. And we actually owned, you know, our shellfish and everything.
It's pretty there.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I can show you pictures of me in my kayak with a pot of killer whales around me.
Yeah.
And that was in my front porch. My wife took the picture from our front porch.
Wow.
But, you know, so of course here we've got the brackish water, all of the history.
Yes.
I'm a history buff and I also enjoy architecture. And so any town you go to in Virginia is steeped in history and has a lot of the old early American architecture that, you know, you can see the American style blossom from what was the British colonial style at the time,
right,
or their cottage, you know, style or whatever. We came into our own, you know.
How would you describe the architecture of the houses in Colonial Beach?
I think that they're somewhat, I think it's a mix of historical and beachy.
Beachy,
and,
yeah.
And beachy modern.
Yeah.
But I love that.
Cottage.
Yeah, along with that, there's definitely kind of a craftsman thing going on in
a
lot of them.
That's right.
But I love that. I love all the different types of architecture. I like the more modern beachy stuff that is right next to, you know, Alexander Graham Bell's home, you know,
and
things like that.
Right.
I love that contrast. I love contrast. I love texture. I love color. I want input. You know, feed me.
Speaking of feed me, we're sitting out here Blake, thank you. We're sitting down, and your wife Barb.
Yes, she's the
chicken salad sandwiches and donuts.
Mm.
And the coffee's great.
It's brunchy.
It's brunchy.
Yes.
What kind of coffee is this?
I don't know. I think it's somewhat generic.
Well,
it's all in how you make it.
It's all. That's right. You get the coffee at Food Lion?
I don't know where the boss got it this time, but we bounce around from a couple of different coffees depending on our moods, and we've been going to actually the coffee shop there that the brewery shares in the mornings a lot as well, and that's a wonderful place to go. The coffee there is amazing, and they will cater to anything you want. My only problem is they make me ring up my own stuff and serve myself, because it's like a family atmosphere.
Okay.
It's wonderful there. I really enjoy going there for coffee. They brighten my day in the morning. You know, when I need a little bit of oomph, I can go there, and I know that I'll feel better when I leave.
And on Sundays, you're there. Is that right?
On Sundays,
Maker's Market?
We're doing a Maker's Market, which should be getting bigger as we start to be able to vend outdoors. It's every Sunday from 1 o'clock until 4 in every, you know, ish. And we hope that in the spring now and in the summer, it'll start to really hit, you know, and pick up.
Okay.
But that's, yes, we have everything from baked goods and even farm goods like rabbit and venison, duck eggs, and things like that, to all kinds of different artwork, T-shirts, anything that is made locally.
And you're still making glass from the Grateful Dead days.
I do everything still from. I do a lot of online sales of pipes and things like that. And then for the Osprey Festival, I'm gearing up for. I'm making Osprey feather pendants and all kinds of different things that are more bird related.
Right.
And but so I make whatever I can cater to, but I do everything from perfume bottles and wine glasses to very small pendants and beads as well.
So you actually make drinking glasses, wine glasses. Do you make beer steins? Do you make any?
Well, I used to, you know, being a human lathe for so long, my body is a little bit shot. And what I need to do is buy a lathe. All of the younger generation of glass blowers now, they tend to do a lot of their work on a glass lathe, which is cheating in my, you know, I
okay.
mean, I, you know, because oh. we all put in all the hard work to mess our arms out.
Okay. I don't understand. I don't understand cheating. So what does it take to be like a traditional, you're saying you're a traditionalist.
Well, it's not so much that what I am is too cheap to buy a lathe, but,
much is a lathe?
About 20,000.
Good God.
So when you're working with molten glass, you have to constantly be spinning it, because everything you're working with is centrifugal force and gravity. It's all natural physics. And so if you spin it to keep the glass centered as it's molten and keep it in the position you want it. If you stop, it'll start to slump down.
Okay.
And so with that principle in mind, you can manipulate the glass in all kinds of different ways. Another principle of glass is, just like anything else, it tends to want to make a ball, because, you know, we live, believe it or not, on a round planet that spins, and that's why everything goes into a ball. But it also draws up into itself. So you can manipulate colors and different elements like gold and silver and cobalt and things to create different patterns inside of the glass.
And you have a glass blowing making studio where?
It's right over here in my, I've converted my garage to the shop. And if you'd like, let's check that
out. All right, we're going to grab the coffee. All right, we're going to grab this coffee. We're leaving the porch.
Yes.
Okay, so is this the first porch talk we ever left the porch? I don't know. But here we go. Okay, we're walking into the garage.
So this is it. There's not much to it, really, at first glance.
Okay, what am I looking at?
Well, I work on a bench-mounted torch. And if you look here, it enables me to get a pinpoint flame, or a flame that's about this big, about as big around as a silver dollar.
Okay, that looks to me almost like a chuck on a drill.
Or like a weird ray gun, maybe.
Oh.
But so I have an oxygen and propane, and then I can feed more oxygen and propane too, so I can have a smaller... I can control the size of my flame with these knobs. The propane makes the flame. The oxygen makes the heat.
So the flame shoots out there.
The flame shoots out here. I have a ventilation system that I have running. It's very loud, so you know I don't want
to. Can we shoot a flame? No.
If you'd like to, I can do so.
Well, we're on the radio, so we can't really see it.
Right. It's not. You can see. You can hear my ventilation. It's noisy and ventilating.
Okay. So. And then this is what you use to, I'm holding a, what looks like a straw of glass. This is solid glass.
Yes, that's solid glass.
Yeah, it's not a straw. It's a pipe. It's a rod.
Yes, I use solid glass and hollow glass. So you can see a lot of my color rod here.
Oh, wow. That's every color in the rainbow.
Well, a lot of them. Yes. And then I can turn those into tubing if I want, or I can use tubing. You can see over here, I have a bunch of tubes and things like that I use for my for different pieces that I make.
So you have all of your raw materials on these shelves over here.
Yes, and then I grab whatever I need for my workday, for the orders that I have, and then I do all the prep work for the orders, and then I go through my orders. And then at the end of the day, when I'm done with my orders, that's the play time where I can start to mess around.
Okay, what's this big blue device that almost looks like a
guillotine? This is a guillotine style kiln, which it allows me to open the front loader is what they mean.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it also has what we call a pony door. So I can keep pieces inside. We call it garaging a piece. So I might be working on one piece while I have another piece in the kiln garaged, so that when I need to, I can marry the two together without the thermal shock exploding my piece of glass. Because
what is thermal shock?
If your glass gets hot or cold too quickly, it will explode.
How many times does that happen?
A lot. In fact, just the other day, I had a piece. Well, the handle that I was using, what we call a ponding, I had it break while I was working, and it went into my hand, cut it, and cauterized it at the same time, so I didn't bleed, because my working temperature is 2,000 degrees. My kiln anneals at 1,050 degrees.
Okay, here's a question for you. Do you have insurance?
I do. Thanks to my wife.
Do you have a life insurance policy?
I think my wife does. Yeah. But, she's been trying to kill me for years, and I think I've grown tolerant to cyanide.
Okay. How about... And that's a drill press.
Yes. And a drill press, you can use, glass is not just about the hot work that you do. There's also processes called cold working. And that can be anything from faceting, like jewelry. You understand about faceting, diamonds and things. It's the same principle with glass.
Okay.
On up to, you might need to make a hole for instance, I've made shifter knobs for motorcycles and cars.
Wow.
And so you bore out a hole and then you can sink the threads into it. And, for your kitchen, knobs for your kitchen cabinets or something.
Okay.
You might need to want to bore a hole into it, cold, and then you use glue and glue a post in, or there's a glass is amazing. There's so many different ways to use it. There's so many different ways to play with it, and I'll never be at a point where I'm not learning something.
Okay, so if we have the torch, you have all your raw materials, you have the kiln, you can garage it.
And I anneal with the kiln. That's the other thing, is that you have to anneal your glass properly or you won't have a good solid crystalline structure.
What's an anneal?
Well, what annealing does is it allows the molecules to slow down more slowly so that they make a good solid crystalline structure when they harden off. It's sort of like the same thing as you would do with steel, with the blades or anything else.
Right, right.
You're wanting that molecular structure to be hard enough to handle, stresses.
Okay,
and if you don't do that, then it could break because of a change of weather.
And the glass lathe, the $20,000 glass lathe, I'm sure they don't sell that at Food Lion.
No.
How much, where would that go and what would that do to improve or change?
It would probably take up most of my bench here.
So it's huge.
And then I would add a second torch plus put this torch on a swivel so I can move my entire torch when need be.
Okay.
Now, you need to be able to still do the work that I do, but what that would do is when I'm working, I'm holding objects like this and constantly turning it just like this.
Okay.
So what the lathe will do is take that away from me, not having to hold the weight, not having to
spin it
myself, and I can concentrate more on the artwork as opposed to when you're, it's kind of a dance when you're doing it all yourself and all by hand. The other thing is it would enable me to put some warming torches under here so that you don't have as much risk of thermal shock when you're making more advanced, larger pieces.
To your knowledge, are you the only glass blower in Colonial Beach?
To my knowledge, I am the only lamp worker in Colonial Beach, to my knowledge, yes. I think that there might be one or two people who work in stained glass, which is amazing.
Yes.
But I have yet to meet another glass blower here in town.
Do you make Christmas ornaments?
I make a lot of different Christmas ornaments.
I bet that sells.
They do pretty well on Christmas, and I will have sets at the Osprey Festival, but I make sets of ornaments that look like icicles, sets of ornaments that look like what we call dewdrops.
Okay.
And then I also make fun things. Like last year I made candy canes and Christmas trees. And, so I make little ornaments of all kinds.
Okay, so you've talked about the Osprey Festival, and we're going to cover that live. WWER 88.1. We're going to be there. We're going to call in. We're going to cover it live. We're excited about that. You're going to be there as a vendor.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm gearing up for that right now. Okay. I am polishing my cases.
Are you making for that?
Well, one thing that I've made a couple of pendants that are Osprey pendants. And then I'm making little pendants that look like Osprey feathers, as well as a lot of different types of things. I plan on having some perfume bottles. I plan on having ring holders. I plan on having straws, lots of different jewelry and art. A lot of usable things as well. Honey wands is another thing that I'm making this year. And so we just have to see, because I will work right up till the day before. And so we will have to see what all ends up in my booth.
Okay, so the Osprey Festival. Now, I'm looking at all this glass here. And let me
be careful.
Am I looking at a pipe?
No, what you're looking at here is the ends, what we call a pawnee. You're looking at the ends. When I start to work, I pull what's called a point. It becomes the handle for my work and the blow tube.
Oh.
You can see there's a hole here that I can blow into.
Okay.
So, I'll be able to use it as my blow tube and my handle all at the same time.
I see.
And so when you're working with tubing, you always have to have a way to be able to blow your piece back out and keep the inner walls, at the where you want them.
Okay, I see that. Now I'm looking at this item. That looks like to me what I would call a bong.
Oh yeah, well it's a bubbler, a water pipe. I make pieces that are for all different types of techniques of medicating.
And this is from Grateful Dead.
Yeah, well, and beyond. But yes, it's I would say I was probably second generation of the people who started making the color changing glass marijuana pipes or tobacco pipes.
Sure, sure.
And so I've been doing it for about over 20 years now. And now you can go to college and learn how to do what I had to teach myself how to do in the 90s and early 2000s.
Well, at WWER, we keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening. We try to anyway. I understand there's a 420 festival. I'm going to go cover it. Are you involved in this?
Yes, we are going to have a 420 festival at the Colonial Beach Brewery. We plan on having a raffle and a adult Easter egg hunt and a lot of fun and some really good music, live band, plus maybe a little DJ'd music as well. We just want it to be a lot of happy people having a good time, enjoying some good food, some good craft beer, and whatever they want, else they want when they, are at home.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, I'm going to grab my coffee, go back up to the porch. This has been an incredible tour. All right. We're leaving the garage.
I apologize for being so boring. It's not nearly as exciting as it sounds.
Blake, I've known you for a while, and I did not know any of this. So this has been revelatory to me. And by the way, if anybody was listening to the Porch Talk with Sam Cocciola, we talked about you in that when I moved here, you're the first person I met. Same with Sam. So do you consider yourself the unofficial Colonial Beach ambassador?
Well, I love to talk and I love to meet people. And so if that's what you would like to call it, but it's easy to be ambassador for a place like this because Colonial Beach, I feel, is a very special place. I feel like it's a wonderful town. It's a town that I think we're all very lucky to live in. And so I try to meet wonderful people and encourage them to be a part of it because I think that we're really, what we do here as a town, as a community, is what the entire world should do.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with that more. Good God. Now, you and Barb have been married 33 years, but you and Barb here in Colonial Beach are involved in other things as well.
Yes, we are both involved in the community gardens.
Where is that?
That is right across the street from the, what would you call it, the auditorium, the stage.
Town Hill,
yes.
Yeah.
Right across from there, and there's a little a park there with the community gardens on the right and a really nice playground for the kids.
Yes.
And some nice little grass area for picnicking.
Okay.
And we're expanding and working all the time, but this garden is for anybody to use. We have several plots, so you can just apply for a plot if you live here in town and get your own plot to grow. Also, we have handicap beds for people who can't bend over or people who are in wheelchairs.
Okay.
And we are constantly trying to improve that space as well as expand. I'm not sure, but I believe we're going to start working on some rain gardens soon. I'm not really the one to talk to so much on that. I'm kind of more of a worker bee.
Okay.
But there are so many different things to be able to get involved in here in Colonial Beach. And I enjoy that because it's gardening. It's fun, and the people are great. And this is another thing.
Chesapeake Bay Foundation.
Yes.
Well, what do you do with them?
Well, they come. They are about keeping the bay clean. And so during this beginning of the summer, we have a big cleanup, which you get lunch, you get a groovy T-shirt, and you just basically walk around town picking up trash. Or what I usually do is I volunteer for kayak duty. And you get into a kayak that they provide you, and you just paddle around, you know, the back area here of our community and pick up any trash you see. And
you're out there with a net?
You get a little net. You get a couple trash bags and, you know, your paddle. And, you know, it takes a minute to figure out how to not fall in the water.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a way to be, once again, be a productive member of the community. But on top of that, just being out in the sun, you know, seeing other people, it's very social, and it's just a good time. You know, it's hard not to enjoy yourself, even if you're picking up trash here.
So we can see you walking the beach in the morning. We can see you at the community garden. We'll see you at the Osprey Festival, the 420 Festival. So you're busy.
Well, and I'll go anywhere anybody needs me. I'm also just getting involved in a program through Guy Bill, who is the trash collector here, he works with a program where we help elderly people and people in need with all kinds of basic things like changing light bulbs, weeding gardens. If they need a medical supply that we might be able to provide them, like a wheelchair or a walker or whatever. And I'm just starting to get into that. And now, I know that Bill and his wife have been involved for a while, but I have, being that I'm just getting recruited into this,
yes.
I don't really have all the details yet.
Okay.
But there's always something to do.
Okay, we'll follow that up. As we enjoy the porch, enjoy this porch talk, let me ask you this last question. What's going to happen with you and Barb, let's say over the next couple years, 5 years? Where do you see Colonial Beach going? And where do you see your lives?
Well, we try never to look forward too far because, you know, things change. And, you know, the only constant in my life has been her. And so as long as that.
And that the glass could explode.
Yes. But as long as it's Blake and Barb, as long as it's she and I are together, that's the only constant I really care about. Everything else is just part of the ride. However, I see ourselves being heavily involved in any community that we're in, and hopefully it will be this community for a long time.
Yes. Where do you see Colonial Beach in the next couple of years?
I think that we are growing and exploring, and I think that the popularity is growing, and I would like to see us be more of the old time Colonial Beach that it was at the beginning, more of the boardwalk. I'd like more boardwalk. I'd like more concessions. I think we need more stores for that cater to that vacation-y crowd. I would love to have a candy store that makes the candy in the window, you know, taffy being pulled, that type of thing, you know, the thing that tourists want to see, and to bring money into our community, because I think that the only thing that we lack maybe is the funding to be able to expand and expound on this beautiful idea. But I think that it's growing, and whether it grows very slowly or more quickly, as long as we are moving forward, it only gets better and better.
Well, Blake, this has been a pleasure, man. We've known each other for a while now. This has been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to your home. Thank you for the coffee. Thank you for the donuts. Thank you for the chicken salad sandwich. It's delicious, by the way.
Thank you for having me. It's all, you know, doing interviews is not my forte.
Yeah, this is Porch Talk and WWER. We're planning for an exciting upcoming year. Thank you for being on Porch Talk, Blake. And what's your favorite radio station?
88.1.
All right. Thank you, Blake.
The help organization run by Bill and Becky Taylor that Blake refers to in this interview is called Neighbor to Neighbor. More information about Neighbor to Neighbor is available on their Facebook page. The Osprey Festival is held each year in April. More information about that event can be found on their website, VirginiaOspreyFoundation.org. Again, that's VirginiaOspreyFoundation.org.